Just stand together for a second, would you? 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I have the chance to preach tomorrow, so I just want to give a quick challenge today. If you would please, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at verse number 16. Would you please look at verse 16, and let's read it together. Can we please, everybody? For though I preach the gospel, what do you think the important thing is in that verse? Yeah, getting the gospel out is, and this is the Apostle Paul talking to a very carnal church, and they have accused him of a lot of things. There have been some louder, more caustic, adversarial people who have stirred a lot of junk up about him. He's been there a year and a half. He had won everybody to Christ. It was in that original church, beginning at Stephanus and Crispus and those early people who got saved. But after he left, as he would prophesy would happen again, grievous wolves would come in and try to get allegiance of the people, and they told some pretty negative things about him. Even began teaching that the resurrection wasn't really a reality, that that's not a need. And he says, look, when it's all over, I need to be a servant and a soul winner. And if I have any to glory in, it's when I glory and give the gospel out. Let's continue on with this chapter if we can. Looking at verse number 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Would you read 23 with me, please? And this I do. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. For I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But would you read verse 27 together with me? But I keep. Father, give us the wisdom just to share a few thoughts today. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for the opportunity to go to school with young men and women who have come to prepare for a lifetime of ministry. May you keep them in ministry for a lifetime. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, the Apostle Paul, I think, was a great example of a maximum Christian. And I will not give you a full message, but I just want to remind you, so much of your life that you'll be so proud of and thankful for is a life that revolves around the gospel of Jesus Christ. Telling people how to get to heaven from here. Telling people about your Savior. Speaking about Christ. Living about Christ. Having your testimony be in such a way. I was, yesterday morning, I went to get a cup of coffee at the restaurant. Some of you know that I've been working with the owner of a restaurant here, the Dunkin' Donut there, and it was a somber mood. I wasn't paying attention to what was going on, and everybody was very quiet. I said, hey, how y'all doing? I said, what's the matter? And they said, Brian, and they're under mask, and I couldn't understand what they were saying, and COVID, and Brian's the man who owns, his name is Bear Hat, really, but they call him Brian Patel. He said something about him and COVID and Dad, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. They said, he's over there, talk to him. And I went over there, and of course, this man who owns several Dunkin' Donuts, who's got probably more money than he'll ever spend, but his dad got fever on Friday and died on Saturday, and probably went into eternity without God. And it just grieved me to think about that. But at the same time, it's about the gospel. God has something going there, and I prayed with him over the Baskin-Robbins ice cream stand there as his eyes, just dark brown eyes, just you could tell he was in pain. He said, you know, your dad loved you. I was like, no, you loved your dad. I do. I just don't know what to do. And he said, you know, I can't go to India. There's too much problems and drama in India right now. So, and I just prayed with him. But, you know, I'm thankful for the opportunity, and not just that, but to so many things happening in your life. The gospel needs to surface as a reason. What is God trying to do here? bring someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he put me in relationships? Why do I live where I live? Why do I work where I work? At the end, it's about the gospel, getting people the gospel of Christ. You'll be so glad if you win and disciple people. So many servants of Christ, even many who are employed in ministries, do not win people to Christ. They do not disciple converts. And their lives are stifled. I don't want that to be your case. I don't want that to be my case. You pray that I'll never become so busy in the ministry that I forget to minister one-on-one with people. You want to be glad you did that. Paul said, look, it's all about me getting the gospel. He said, look, if being weak with a weak person helps me to win the weak, then I'll be weak. If being strong, I'll become all things to all men. That does not mean bellying up to the bar and drink alcohol so you can win the drunk. That doesn't mean going to places you shouldn't go and dressing in ways you shouldn't dress and listening to music and dancing with people so you can win them. That's not what God's talking about here. He's talking about if I need to come to meet people on their level. And then he goes on and completes it. And of course, we had some sports awards given out today. And this is not a sports college. This is not it's not a place where we do a lot of that. But Paul knew about the Olympics. He knew about the sporting events. And they would oftentimes, in the big thing, they would run and so they could win. They would fight so they would conquer. And then they would stand before the Roman leader and he would put, binds on their head and give them accolades and recognition and a bind that is corruptible. It's not going to stay. It's going to go away pretty quick. He said, but you and I are in it for an incorruptible crown. And he gives us some things that what you're doing is not about a piece of paper you'll receive on Friday morning or next year in our 50th year graduation commencement exercise for some of you juniors who will graduate on their 50th year anniversary in April of 2022. It's not about a piece of paper. It's about a God. It's about a gospel. But there are a couple words here that are very important. Let's look at them, verse number 25. Can you look at it, please? Actually, let's pick up verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. I want you to notice he goes, I realize that when you run a race, and by the way, the wonderful thing about Christianity is that you're not in a race against me, and I'm not a race against you. You don't judge a church by its size. You judge a church by its sort, by what kind of church it is. That's what God looks at the church. He doesn't say, okay, the church of Laodicea is greater than the church of Sardis or the church of Smyrna. He's not evaluating the size. And churches, someone says, well, I like a small church. It doesn't really matter what you like. Well, I like a big church. It doesn't really matter. What we're not looking for is we're looking for the will of God and the sort. Everybody's different. God put me when I was in school in Canaryville as a captain of a bus route with an Irish community. And I had to learn pretty quickly, that in that little bus route, it's going to be very difficult to be as successful as my brothers were, 18 blocks over in a Puerto Rican neighborhood or in a Spanish neighborhood. It's just a little different. God put me in a different place. And I had to come to grips with the fact, every field brings a different yield. Every place is different. I'm different. God's trying to do, we're building a work while he's building me, and he's building a work while he's building you. And you being what you can do with God's help is good. He said, but in a race, everybody runs, but one receiveth the prize. But the good thing about Christianity is everybody can get a prize who is faithful. He talks about this is the first reward he brings about, and it's called the incorruptible reward, one that doesn't fade away. And it's not for being a pastor. Not for being a pastor's wife, it's for being a disciplined Christian. He says, look at verse number 26, if you would please, or 25, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. The Bible says, anyone who is going after a goal, wants to win a reward in the Olympics, they have to be temperate. That doesn't mean it's temporal, but it's talking about the fact they have to discipline themselves. They have to say no to Snicker bars. They have to say no to fountain sodas. They have to say no to certain things and yes to other things. They have to keep themselves in under subjection. He said, if you're going to strive for mastery, you're going to wear a crown, you're going to be used of the Lord, you got to discipline yourself. You got to be temperate in all things. Then look at the Bible says in verse number 25, now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown. They do it so they can stand in front of people, be clapped, and be sponsored, and be giving a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I want to ask you, do you know what you're trying to accomplish? And if you'll be what God wants you to be, you'll do what you want to do. But the truth of the matter is, we've got to figure out, why am I on the planet? Number one, to glorify God. Number two, to help somebody else. That's generically why you're still living here. Does God get a good opinion based upon your attitude, your actions? Would God be glorified if you finished college? Would that give others a better opinion of God? The people in your youth group, so forth, your mom, your dad, some of you have unsaved parents. If you finish, some of you are thinking about quitting. You got quitting on your mind. You're forgetting it. It's not about you, it's about Him. The glory of God. And would it be good for others? What am I doing? Is it good for God? Is it glorifying to God? Is it good for others? He said, I'm running not as uncertainty. I kind of know where I'm going. I know what I'm trying to accomplish. You don't have to know where you're going to be in 3 years. You don't know if you're going to be a pastor or a pastor's wife, or you're going to be teaching in school, or where you're going to be in Hawaii, or you're going to be in Washington State, or Portland, Maine, or wherever. You don't have to know where you're going to be. What you need to know is, am I doing what I need to do? And am I being what I ought to be? He said, I got this figured out. Paul says, I'm running, not uncertain. I'm fighting, not as one that just beats the air. I'm not just walking around doing like this. I'm connecting my punches. I am making an impact in the lives of others. You know, successful athletes make impact. They make an impact. If it's a hitter, he hits the ball. If it's a football player, he tackles the person, he catches it, he goes in that situation. Make an impact. He said, I'm not just beating, I'm not just exercising myself. I am doing what I got put in the ring to do, to make an impact. And then the Bible tells us here in verse number 27, I keep under my body and bring in subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? I don't know about you, but I would underline that in your Bible and just like, God, please help me not be this. Not this, please. He says, the way I can finish and get this incorruptible crown is I've got to keep under my body and keep in a subjection. Because I want to make sure. And I want to just say to you, as we get ready to wrap up a semester of school, you and I sometimes can be our own worst enemies. Our body craves what it wants. When food, physical contact, in relaxing, video games, pornography, and ease. He said, if you're going to win the race, you better keep your body under subjection. Watch your appetites. Watch your thing. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. No one wakes up and says, I think I'm going to blow my whole life today. This is my day. I've been waiting for this. No. It's just a little compromising to keep being made. Just pushing it. People don't become immoral overnight. There's a little bit. It's the hand holding. It's the hugging. It's the kissing. It just keeps on going. And it gets to a place where it's out of control and the guilt becomes on, and there's all kinds of challenges. And many of you, you're on a pathway of purity. Others of you, you're in trouble. Because you do whatever the flesh, and you don't keep your body in subjection. Your body is that thing that belongs to God and is supposed to bring glory to God. He owns two things about you, your body and your spirit. The soul is the one that you seem to own. How you think, what you feel, and what you're going to do. That belongs to you, and yet that's how we manage our body and our spirit. They belong to God. Make sure you keep it in subjection. Make sure you finish strong. I love to give awards. The truth of the matter is, God says, let every man have praise of God. One day, God's got all the criteria. And he'll say, hey, you didn't know what this guy was going through. You didn't know what the you know what? He's got an incorruptible crown, one that he'll wear for all eternity. He'll have for all eternity because he kept his body in subjection. And I don't care who you are, man or woman, old or young, talented or maybe not as gifted, all of us can win an incorruptible crown if we'll discipline our body. Discipline your mind. Discipline your mouth. Be careful during this time, especially as we finish. Whenever you finish something special, like a semester, there's a huge blessing, but there's a big letdown. And there's a vacuum. Now you don't have an exam to study for. Now you don't have a paper to write. Now you, and that's good. That's the way life is. But oftentimes when you have a vacuum, Satan wants to fill it. Idleness and stupidity and things that come in your life that you're going to say, I never thought I'd be like this. And a degree in your hand will not change that. A GPA will not change that. It's going to be you keeping your body into subjection and saying, God, my will, it needs to be subject to your will. May God help us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you very much for the privilege of being with the student body today. Blessed a few announcements we'll hear, but I pray that, God, you would help us as we turn the key and turn the page to another adjustment, transition of life. Thank you, Lord, for your merciful kindness. Thank you for the attention of the young people. Bless each of us as we pursue your will for our life. In Jesus' name.